Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Sex creates very deep bonds between people. It joins them metaphysically, whether married or not. For believers, that joining affects their relationships with Christ. Today, getting our sex lives on track to glorify God. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our series is Nothing Else Matters, How the Glory of God Gives Meaning to All of Life. Erwin Lutzer turns now to 1 Corinthians 6:13 for some direct teaching on the matter of sex.
The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. And so what Paul is saying is this, that your body is so important, it will be raised, how you treat it, and because sexuality goes to the heart of who you are, you'd better get this straight. And then he says, verse 15, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Why is it that we should glorify God in our bodies, as this text tells us to? First reason, it's because of who we are joined to. Now let me speak very plainly. If you're here today as a Christian, you're listening as a believer, you've come to saving faith in Christ, you are joined to Jesus. The Bible says that we are in him, he is in us. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And because of that, it is not just that Jesus saved us, it's that Jesus is a part of us. Jesus, therefore, is connected with us spiritually and metaphysically. And we need to understand that. And now what the Apostle Paul is saying, and he's emphasizing it by sending us a message of the clock chiming. What the Apostle Paul is saying, which is very clear, is simply this, and you need to follow it. Don't be distracted. You need to get this. We all know what time it is. One time this bell rang 13 times, and I said, it's later than it's ever been before. The Apostle Paul is saying that if we are joined to Jesus, and we are, spiritually and metaphysically, if you have a sexual relationship outside of marriage, and he uses a prostitute as an example, you need to get this. You are forcing Jesus to be an unwilling partner in this relationship. Imagine that. Here's an unholy bed, an unholy relationship, and you are expecting Jesus as a believer who is, Jesus is joined to you, you are expecting Jesus to be involved at least at the level that you are, and he's joined to you. No wonder he is so grieved. Paul says, would I take the member of Christ, you as a believer, and make him a member of a prostitute? Of course not. Wow. It's because of who we are joined to. We're joined to Christ, so the consequences are huge. Now, notice also, now Paul talks about what the sexual relationship really is. And I need to tell you that you can go through all the libraries of the world and you can study sexuality, and you'll never find the wisdom that is found here in God's holy book. Listen to this. Do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is written, the two will become one flesh. Wow! Here's a relationship where there is no pretense of love. There is nothing in this relationship except mutual exploitation. Everybody knows that this is a transfer of money for a moment of pleasure. In that most degrading relationship, God says the two of you have just been made one flesh. It's not just that your bodies were joined together, but metaphysically and spiritually you were brought together, and I have pronounced on you a soul tie, and you're tied together. Do you realize the importance of sexuality here and what it really is? Because remember, the original intention was that it would bring together a man and a woman to mirror the glory of God and the image of God. And now it is being misused. Sin has messed everything up. And in the middle of this mess, the Apostle Paul says, you've been joined to that person. This is what I call an unholy soul tie. Sometimes I refer to it as an alien bond. An alien bond means an illegitimate bond. Now you can imagine what happens if sex has that much power to bond two people together, body, soul, and spirit. Imagine what happens now outside of marriage. Imagine the power, for example, of that first bond. It has a tremendous amount of power and might ultimately define you. This is a story that has happened 10,000 times, where you have a young woman who's maybe saving herself for marriage. She gets talked into a relationship by her boyfriend, who says, it's okay, it'll just be our secret. And after it happens, she knows that she's been defiled. She knows that her virginity has been lost. The boy has probably lost his long ago. And as a result of that, now all of the anticipation and the bonding that should take place to represent God, all that has been messed up. So feeling defiled, what does she do? As one young lady told me, I knew I was defiled, so now it didn't matter. And now she's tempted to spin into all kinds of different experiences sexually, because what difference does it make? I'm not pure anymore anyway. And so because that first bond has been broken, the first bond was illegitimate, it spirals off into all kinds of other experiences which continue to snowball and be detrimental. Because God says you are one with this person. And now having been torn from him and torn from her, the two of them go on finding other bonds, because what they're still doing is trying to seek this unity. God implanted something within us that said this unity needs to be there in a marriage relationship. And the oneness, the intimacy that they should have for marriage, that has been shattered. And now where do you go to find it? From bed to bed and from person to person. As a matter of fact, this first relationship is so important that if you continue on, it can actually determine your sexuality. I've talked to a lot of young men involved in homosexuality and asked them, how did you get involved? Oftentimes it's because an older man seduced them into the relationship, and there they are living with the tension of both the exhilaration of it all and the shame of it all and the secrecy of it all. And they begin to think and dream and continue the relationship that has been begun. In fact, I remember reading a book about homosexuality that says any one of us by the age of 14 could have been misled into the homosexual lifestyle if we had had the right experiences with the right person. The power of sexuality. Furthermore, when you live immorally and you're bonded to all these different people, when it comes time to be married and finally have an exclusive commitment to someone, you can understand how difficult it is to maintain that commitment. Let me speak to you just casually and directly today. Here's somebody who lived immorally. He's marrying somebody who lived immorally. They've got all of these soul ties in their mind. The relationship which God intended has been put together and then broken, put together and broken, put together and broken. Now we bring them to the altar, and we all look at the beautiful bride, and we look at the handsome groom, and we expect them to live happily ever after, and they've got all kinds of junk swirling around in their memories and in their minds. It's not as if there's no hope for them, because there is. That's why I'm encouraging you to stay till the end of the message. But do you see, when you begin to mess with this matter of sexuality, the consequences always dog you. So the Apostle Paul is saying one reason why it is so important for us to be morally pure is because of who we're joined to. We're joined to Christ. Don't take Christ into an unholy bed with you as an unwilling partner having to put up with what you are doing as a believer. So that's number one. Number two, notice who the Apostle Paul says indwells us. Notice what the text has to say. And do you not know that he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him? Flee immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside of the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? You know, in the Old Testament, God had his temple, and he dwelt there in that temple. And there were two sections to it. There was the larger courtyard. That in Greek was known as the Hieron. And then the inner sanctum, the Holy of Holies, the Greek word is naos. And that's the word that's used here. He says, do you not know that your body contains the Holy of Holies? Because God is dwelling there. And because God is dwelling there, don't grieve the blessed Holy Spirit of God who has taken residence in your mind and in your heart and in your body. Don't put the Holy Spirit through that kind of grief.
My friend, today I speak from my heart to your heart. I don't think it is possible for us to even understand the extent to which the Holy Spirit is grieved because of our sensual sins. The best way to explain sensuality is uncleanness, and the Holy Spirit of God is very, very exceedingly holy. So you can understand now, our bodies, as believers, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and here we allow these sensual images and these unclean thoughts and images to dominate us. Could I make a suggestion to you today? Would you spend time in God's presence, first of all, the confession of your sin and the recognition that you have to break off this perhaps attachment, this obsession with sensuality? And then at the same time, would you go for help? It's been my experience that people who are really deep into what we generally call as addictions, sexual addictions of various kinds, cannot get out of that pit alone. It's amazing how confession to someone and accountability to someone whom you trust, it's amazing how that will help you. And then at the same time, let us continue to connect with others in church, because remember, it is through our relationships, through the strength of wholesome connections, that wholeness returns to our hearts and is maintained. No, you cannot live the Christian life alone. I believe very deeply that this message could be transforming for many people, and in a moment you'll be given information as to how it can be yours. Thank you in advance for your prayers. We constantly depend upon them. Thanks for your financial gifts. God bless you, and I'll see you right here next time on Running to Win.
Erwin Lutzer with more of God's glory in our sexuality. His fifth message on Nothing Else Matters, how the glory of God gives meaning to all of life. Next time, more on why Christians must avoid sexual sin. We'd like to send you the entire series on the glory of God on CD. It's our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church. Thank you.